Thank you. Patrick Smalley joining us in due course, and Jamie Mackay later in the hour. But right now it's time to check in with Sam Trethaway from Milford Asset Management. Good evening, Sam.
Evening, Mike.
How has the week been in equity markets?
We are drawing towards the end of a busy period for the local market, Mike. It's been earnings season here, with many of the larger companies reporting their financial results for the prior 6 months. And on the back of that, we have seen what has been some very solid earnings figures released, and the NZX has been well supported. So it was up 1.2% last week, and the past few days have followed a similar trend. And that's been in a reasonable contrast to markets across the ditch in Aussie, where the shares there have been one of the weaker performers regionally, following that bit of the political circus that's going on. And we had some reasonably sharp falls in the major Aussie banks, which can often be political punching bags.
So, Sam, what do you think some of the highlights were in the local results season?
Certainly locally, it's been Trade Me and A2 Milk, which have been standouts on the positive side based on their share price reactions. Trade Me announced a large special dividend, signalling it wasn't going to waste money on unnecessary acquisitions or investment. One of the more interesting ones has been Sky TV, where everyone's monitoring how the price cuts they announced will play out. And on the negative side, it's been Fletcher Building and Air New Zealand that have seen some of the larger share price falls after releasing their results. So Fletcher Building is down around 8% since reporting.
Yes, and with respect to that result, how much disappointment, and going forward, what's the outlook for construction losses?
And each of the results has really been the outlook statements that the market's focused in on. And with Fletcher Building, the new CEO there, Ross Taylor, didn't actually come across overly optimistic about the near-term future for the business when he presented their results to the market. So the guidance that they provided really emphasised that there is significant margin pressure across most of the business units, particularly in their building products area. So it's not just construction losses impacting the earnings there. But thankfully, there was no movement in the extent of the losses this time around. So I think they remain heavily provisioned for now.
And regarding Air New Zealand, Sam, what did investors take exception to in the result?
Yeah, again, it was the outlook comments there, Mike, which caught some a little off guard. Actually, the result itself was very good. Air New Zealand delivered its second highest profit ever. However, for the year ahead, it expects profits to fall around 15% due to two factors. The first is obvious, which is the oil price. But the second and more interesting piece was around the company announced that its Rolls-Royce engine issues affecting the 787 fleet and required downtime for maintenance. They're going to take some aircraft out of the rotation, reschedule some flights, and forego roughly $30 to $40 million of revenue for the year ahead as a result.
So $30 to $40 million of lost revenue is material. Why do you think Air New Zealand made the schedule changes?
Look, I think the maintenance issues have caused some significant disruption over the past year to their schedule, and I think they value their brand hugely and want to maintain that. So I think it's reached a point internally where they were worried about the customer impact of that and any loss of brand strength, and the cost of $30 to $40 million is worth doing it. So clearly, for those travelling regularly overseas, somewhere like Australia, booking a flight and being unsure whether you are likely to depart on schedule or not is becoming frustrating.
Is there any sign that this weakening consumer and business confidence is impacting on the company?
They're not seeing it, Mike. CEO Christopher Luxton came across very bullish on that point, and it was something that the market was very focused in on. It's interesting to see him appointed today to the Prime Minister's Business Advisory Council to address this very issue. So for them, happily, demand is still strong, and their forward bookings heading into the peak summer season are holding up nicely.
And finally, how was the Sky TV result received? And with respect to pricing cuts, what impact on subscriber losses?
I think the jury broadly is still out on Sky TV. It's still a business under pressure. Roughly 10% of their existing customers trimmed their entertainment package down to that $50 a month offer. And a reasonable portion, fortunately for Sky, invested in other add-ons. But they did lose a further 11,000 subscribers over the past 6 months. And that is traditionally a period where people do sign up to Sky. So it's the beginning of the rugby season, and people sign up to get to watch the All Blacks, etc.
What do you think Sky TV can do to turn itself around?
Yes, that's the big question with this company. What does it become in a new world of competition? Outgoing CEO John Follett, clearly, I don't think he has an answer, but he has done what he can to stem the tide of loss of subs with that pricing move. It's really up to whoever is appointed next to come in, but this sure isn't an obvious one.
All right. Thank you very much, Sam. Sam Trethaway from Milford Asset Management. Very shortly, we'll...